There's a man that he said early day, and my faith we can see it upon. For the Father reigns over the world to prepare us a dwelling place
there. Amen.
In the sweet by and by,
amen. Thank you, Lord.
We shall sing on that beautiful shore. The glorious songs of the blessed, with our spirit shall call the Lord. Not a sign for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by, we shall be let you show in the sweet by and by, we shall be let you show to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute for the glorious gifts
by His Son. Amen.
And the blessing that hallow our day, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by, we shall
be
on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Amen. Wealthiest men in the world. I'm so blessed. Thank the Lord for that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We've been this month trying to emphasize affection or love. I want to share with you a thought this morning out of the great Sermon on the Mount that our Lord preached when He was upon the earth. You're not going to find a better sermon ever recorded in the history of the world than the sermon that was recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But I want to draw your attention to the ending of Matthew chapter number 5. And our thought this morning, or the subject I'd like you to think about, is the command of our Lord to love your enemies. To love your enemies. So let's read in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His Son. I love how the Bible puts this. Every word in the Bible is important. That's why it bothers me when they keep making more and more translations. I think we about had enough translations, don't you?
Amen.
I love how it says He maketh His Son. It is S-U-N. That Son is God's Son. Amen?
Amen.
To rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren or greet them only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for preserving the word of God. And we thank you, God, for how strong and powerful it is. No one has ever taught the truths that you teach us. And Lord, it's so convicting when we read passages like this. We see, Lord, our love often is just a love that is returned to others that give it to us. I pray, God, that you'd help our love to grow stronger and stronger. Lord, that no matter what happens in our lives and no matter what people do to us, we would love the sinners and love our enemies and love you and love others, and that we might be an example, God, of your great love for the world. I ask you this morning, Father, that you'd help me to communicate your word in such a way that we would be convicted, we would be reproved, we would be corrected. We might learn more about how to live for Christ, that we might grow in our likeness to the Lord Jesus in every way. I pray, God, if there's any among us that are lost and in their sins, that you would draw them to Jesus this morning, that they would be saved. I ask you, God, that you would help me, that you would empower me, or help me to say those things that I ought to say, that you want me to say. And God, keep me back from saying those things that wouldn't help to get across the truth this morning, that would challenge us to be more like Christ. Lord, have your way in my heart. Have your way in this service. Accomplish your will. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
You might remember that throughout this month, we've been trying to emphasize affection or love. We started by mentioning to you the greatest commandment recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12. It's recorded in other places as well, but Mark said the greatest commandment, Jesus answering a lawyer, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all your mind. That's the greatest commandment. If you want to please God, if you want to live doing His will, that should be your greatest goal, is to love God with your entire being, every ounce of your being. May it love God. Then he said the second is like that, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then we talked to you about family love. And we saw that the Bible instructs that mothers are to love their children, wives are taught to love their husbands, and husbands are commanded to love their wife in Ephesians chapter number 5. And we saw in that, how that love is developed in the home. That's where it grows. That's where you really learn to start loving sacrificially. When you have a wife that has a need and you're not interested in meeting that need, but because you're taught to love unconditionally, you do what is necessary just because that you love that individual. And that's when you start learning how to practice Christian love. You learn that in the home. It grows in the home. Its discipleship is in the home. If we don't get it right in the home, it'll never be right in the church. And if it's not right in the church, it won't be right in society. Our society is a mess because our churches are a mess. And our churches are a mess because our Christian homes our mess. Amen? And we need to make those things right. We need to start doing what the Lord has instructed us to do in our home. Well, when it comes to these, all of us, I think, are eager to say amen. When God says to me, love Him, something in my heart says, amen, yes. Lord, work that in me. That's what I want. I want to love You. In fact, one of my prayers, often prayers, is, Lord, help me to love You with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. When God says to me, love your wife, as I love the church and gave myself for it, I rejoice in that. I say, Lord, that's how I want to love my wife. I want to love her sacrificially. I want to love her just like You love the church. And Lord, I submit to that. I'm willing to do that. I want to do that. But then God pushes us further than what we probably anticipated that He'd ever challenge us to go. Because He doesn't just say, love a God that loves you, the God, the only God, love Him that loves you. He doesn't just say, love a wife that you would expect to love you in return. In Matthew chapter 4:5, He says, love your enemies. Now you know what happens in my heart? It draws back. And it starts to ask questions. Like, Lord, what do you expect from me? To love an enemy, to love someone who might want to destroy me or defame me, to love someone that might harm me, to love someone that is working at destroying my life. You're commanding me to love somebody like that? That is hating my soul, my very existence? And God says, absolutely, that's what I'm asking of you. I'm commanding you. Don't just love people that love you. Love people that hate you. You know what that does to me? It crushes me. It brings me to my knees. And I say, God, how is that even possible? How could I ever have that kind of love, to love someone that really despises me? How is that even possible? And that question lies one of the keys to understanding where the power to love people that hate us comes from. Amen? You see, what God is always doing in all of our lives, He's pushing us to learn to be dependent upon Him. Some of the things that He commands us to do, we, in our selfishness, in our flesh, we think, I got that. And the truth is, we don't love God nearly as much as we think we love God. But it's easy to convince ourselves that we do. And we don't love our wives as nearly as much as we ought to. And wives don't love their husbands nearly as much as they ought to. And they don't love their children. Parents don't love their children nearly as much as they ought to. But when it comes to that, we think, okay, I can check that box. But Simon, do you love your wife? Absolutely. And I think I'm being honest and sincere. I think if you asked her, she would say, I don't have a doubt at all that my husband loves me, but I know this as well. God still looks at me and says, Tommy, you got a long way to go in this. And that's one of the reasons He pushes this in front of us and He says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to love people that hate you. And then Brother George, I'm confronted with something. I'm confronted with the fact that God, I don't see how that's possible. I don't see how I could even ever dream of doing that. If someone slaps me in the face, my tendency is to punch back. If they harm me, I want to harm them. And God says unequivocally or plainly and clearly, love your enemies. And I'll be honest with you, I'm astonished and I'm crushed at that. Because I know I come so far short in these other areas that I could not imagine myself having a real genuine enemy and me feeling towards that enemy love. Christian love. Can you? I don't know how many of us have a real true enemy. I hope that none of you can think of someone that is honestly an enemy of yours. Talking about a person. But even if you did have someone pop in your mind, that's the very one God said, I want you to care for them, love them, be concerned about them, pray for them. Amen? How many of us would say, honestly, God, your command to love enemies seems impossible for me? Would you say that? It does seem impossible. Let me show you something in the Bible. We have some examples of people that were able to love people that despised them. Now, one, I'll be honest with you, he's a reluctant lover. And his name is Jonah. And a lot of times we're real hard on Jonah because we don't know the people that Jonah was dealing with when he was talking about Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrians. We just read the story and we see his reluctance to go, and then we see how God sends the whale and he swallows Jonah, and Jonah spit out on dry ground. He finally goes and preaches, and when he preaches, they repent. And Jonah sits outside the city expecting fire to come down from heaven. And he hears tears and crying. And he said, I knew that was going to happen. And then sitting out there on the sun, God raises up this little plant. And it covers him in the heat of the day. And then all of a sudden, a worm gets in it. And that plant is taken away. And here's Jonah thinking, Why is this plant taken away? I've lost the plant, I've lost my shade, and he's aggravated that. Why would he be so displeased that God spared the Assyrians? Because the Assyrians were brutal people. You can't talk about their brutality in mixed company. Sometimes when I'm preaching along these lines, I have to consider Sister Linda, and if Brenda was in here, I'd have to consider her. They don't like to talk about graphic things, beheadings and things like that. I mean, that's how the Assyrians were. They were vicious in their brutality. Look it up yourself. They were known for just being as brutal as they could be, as vicious as they can be, as vile as they could be towards their enemies. And they were conquering the northern kingdom of Israel. One example I could give you that might help you have an idea of what kind of people they were. They would capture a city and their nobles. Then they would take those nobles and put them in dog kennels alongside of their dogs. That's just one of the things they would do to mock and ridicule and try to abase their enemies. And Jonah is looking at these vile people that behead others and do vile things. And he says, God, do you want me to go to my enemy and tell them that if they repent, that you would spare them? And God said, yes, I want you to go. And you say, preacher, why would God do that? I think if you looked at the end of the book, you'd find the answer. Jonah chapter number 4. Can I tell you something? In the Old Testament, God doesn't just love Israel. He loves everybody. Some of these people that want you to be a hater of the nation of Israel will try to convince you that God only loved the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. I hope that you'll remind them of passages just like this in the book of Jonah. Look at Jonah chapter 4. I'll read the verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd, the plant that he brought up that was smitten and eaten by the worm and died off? Dost thou be well to be angry about that?" And he said, Jonah said, "Yeah, I do well to be angry." Notice the next thing he said, "Even to death. If you don't kill me for getting upset about this, just kill me." He said, "What is going on with him? Here's a wicked, vile people that have destroyed his own family and friends and nation, and God has spared them. He's having a hard time getting over that." Amen? This is what I want you to see, though. Why would God do this? Then said the Lord. Notice God doesn't kill him. He doesn't take him out. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night." This is Jonah 4, verse number 10. "And perished in a night." Notice this next verse, verse 11, the last verse. This is what the book of Jonah is all about. Look at that last verse. "And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between," that's 120,000 people, "that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand." He said, look, they're ignorant. They don't know. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize how awful and wicked this is. And you want me to destroy 120,000 people and cast them all into hell, Jonah? And notice what he says at the end of that verse as well. "And also much cattle." When I say something to you, God does care about every beast of the field. I don't mean that you can't make a hamburger out of it. Thank y'all for those amens. That's one of the reasons they were put here. But God does care about the livestock, the beast of the field. But he cares about these souls. I remind you of David the king. Remember, David is thrown as usurped, and he is leaving with a band of men, and here's a man named Shimei. He's the descendant of King Saul, who God took out of off the kingdom and established David. And Shimei is an enemy to David. He despises David. Everything is David's fault. "I wouldn't be in the condition I'm in today," Shimei said, "if it weren't for old David." Now he's leaving, and you know what he does? You can read it yourself in 2 Samuel chapter 16. He picks up some rocks, and he starts throwing rocks at David. And he starts cursing David. And he says all manner of vile things and throwing rocks. And one of David's young men said, "You want me to go over there and cut his head off?" But David said, "Now listen, why should I love my enemies?" You know what David said? "No, don't do that. Because God may look on this and give me favor." I should love my enemy because God loves them. Jonah, why should you love Nineveh? Because God loves them. And he loves them even though they're evil and enemies and haters and God deniers. But a lot of them don't know the left hand from the right. You should love them because God loves them. Well, why should I love my enemy? Well, it might be that God sees all that the enemy is doing to you and all the trouble, you know, flatten your tires and pour your sugar in your tank and just all kind of trouble that enemy brings to you, and he sees you pray for them and love them and bless them and speak well of them. And God said, "I'm going to reward you for that." You say, "Preacher, would God do that?" Well, go back and look at Matthew chapter 5 again, when he's telling us to love our enemies. He said in verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have ye?" What is he saying there? He's saying, listen, if you can learn to love people that don't love you, there is a blessing in that. There is a reward in that. You are never as much as like Christ when you love people that hate you, because that's exactly what Christ does for us. Amen? And God may look on all the vile things they say and do and Facebook and all that stuff. It just gives you so much trouble. And he looks at how you respond in love. You don't respond in like. You don't say bad things about them. You don't ridicule them. You respond in love. You pray for them. And God says, "I see that. And I'm going to send a blessing your way because you're loving your enemy just like I told you to."
Amen.
We have a New Testament example as well. In the Gospel of Luke, here's a man that is a Samaritan. That Samaritan is hated by the people of Israel. And as he's traveling down his way, he finds a man that's in the road half dead. Now, what would you do if you found your enemy in the road half dead? We talk about the Good Samaritan all the time. Well, if you found an enemy in the road half dead, sadly, even Christians in our day would pass him by, as illustrated by the priest and the Levite that looked on and did nothing. You know what Jesus warned us about when he talks about the end of the world and his coming? Are y'all with me? One of the things he warned us about? He said, "In those days the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold." When you see somebody in need, you know what we first think nowadays when we see somebody? We don't even stop to pray. We don't stop to say, "God, would you have me do something here?" We just look at them and say, "That is a dope head, and he's out here trying to get my hard-earned money just to go and spend it on some more drugs. I'm not going to give him a thing." We don't even stop to pray. Why? Because our heart, even though we know Christ, our heart's getting hard because iniquity abounds so much in the world. And because there's so much iniquity, what happens to us? Our heart gets hard. Well, sometimes, I don't advocate just giving your money to folks like that. I think you ought to pray about it. But you know, sometimes you miss an opportunity because it may have been an angel unaware. And you didn't even bother to pray. I'm not saying every time you see someone, give them money. They say they're hungry, try to give them a sandwich. Sometimes you'll find out they're not interested in eating. If it's an angel and he says, "I'm hungry," he'd say, "Thank you for that, sir. Appreciate that." I'm trying to get across to us, we are to love our enemies. What did that Good Samaritan do when he saw that enemy in the ditch? He set aside his plans. You know, that's one of the toughest things for us. "Brother Brian, I got so much to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I don't have time to stop, go down to the ditch and help this man. I mean, I've got to go to the next city. I've got work to do. I've got stuff to do." Remember, Jesus said, this is in response to the question our Lord said when the man said, "Who's my neighbor?" Trying to justify himself. "I'm supposed to love my neighbor, Lord, who's my neighbor?" He said, "Let me tell you about this man that fell in the ditch half dead." What did he do? He paused his life. He got off his beast, he went in the ditch, he took care of the man, put him on his own beast, walked to the nearest hotel or motel, paid the bill, and said, listen, if anything's left, if he owes anything, don't charge him. I'll come back, I'll pay you the rest of it. God wants us to be a people that loves others enough that we actually make a difference in their life. That's what he wants. When he says, love your enemies, you know how much this world could be affected. You know one of the horrible things that's going on in our society today? People are just pitted one against the other. There's nothing but disagreement all the time. Discord all the time. And people get on Facebook, it's to argue about something. And it's always one side against the other. And this group is arguing with that group. And it's constant conflict. I think God's heart grows weary of that. He needs peacemakers. He needs people that will love. And give you our greatest example, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind you of this. He loved you when you hated him. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And it tells us about Jesus that he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus loved his enemies. On the cross, he said, he didn't say, Father, send down destruction on them. Rain fire and brimstone down on them. Justify your son by tormenting these, my crucifiers. No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What amazing love. Amen. And since Jesus lives in us and we live in him, he wants us to represent him and do exactly what he would do in those situations. Now, can I say something to you? This doesn't mean that if you're at home at night and some guy breaks in, that you don't take out your pistol and just put him down. He's breaking in your house at night. He shouldn't be in your house. He's not in there for any good.
That's right. Amen.
Loving him doesn't mean that you let him harm your family. Someone stood up in this church, started harming people in this church. I would hope that we try to take him out as quickly as possible. Why? Because if you love other people in here, you're going to try to stop that. If you love your wife, you're going to put an end to that. Amen? That's not. That don't mean that you've got to just suffer all kinds of times. But what it means is what you do in verse number 44. Here's someone who can't stand you. What are you supposed to do about this? And we'll look at this in closing. Back in Matthew chapter number 5. Look at this. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What does that love look like? Bless them that what? So how do I love my enemy? Well, they just cursed you. What are you supposed to do? And by the way, please, not in mockery. You know how to do that, right? Well, bless you. There has to be a right spirit behind that. Amen?
Amen?
They just said something vile, something hard, a profanity, and they directed it at you, and your response is in love. The Lord bless you. I was with my pastor once years ago, and we were going to visit an older couple. And my father-in-law was my pastor. He told me about a time we went in front of a man that was not working, taking care of his family. And as he was confronting that man reached into the vehicle my father-in-law was sitting in and punched him in the face. And my father-in-law said, the Lord gave me grace to turn the other cheek and said, listen, you can hit this one as well. That doesn't change the fact that you need to get a job and take care of your family. So we're going to visit this older couple. A lady's walking down the road, and the driveway's right there. So instead of going around her and cutting her off, he just slows down, patiently waits for her. And finally she wheels around, goes to his window, and she starts giving bleep, 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 bleep. What do you bleep, 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 bleep think you're doing? Bleep, bleep. And my blood starts boiling. This man led me to Christ. He's a dear friend of mine. He's my spiritual father. I'm about ready to open my door and go out there and give her a whooping. Turn her over the hood of the vehicle and just wear her out and say, now listen. And she finally took a breath and he said, ma'am, may the Lord bless you. She turned around and walked off. We pulled in the driveway. And I bet you as soon as we pulled in the driveway, she thought, what a fool. He wasn't just sitting behind me to irritate me. He was trying to wait to get in the driveway. And I just blew my top for no reason whatsoever. You know what? Listen to me. What would most of us do? Somebody come up to our window, started cussing us out, and we've done nothing wrong whatsoever. What do you think you'd do? Let me tell you what you ought to do. Love your enemies. Listen to me. You say, preacher, I don't have the temperament to do that. I don't have the power to do that. You don't have the power to do anything else either. It takes God's power. He would never give a commandment like this. Can you hear me on this? He'd never give you a commandment that he doesn't give you the power to keep. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. And every time you're tempted, God will offer you a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Amen? You can handle these trials and these times of testing when someone curses you. In love, let me quickly say this, bless them. Notice next, do good to them that hate you. Went long ago, Brother Bruce was preaching along these lines. By the way, we need to be reminded of these truths over and over and over again. Why? Because somehow in our flesh we let them slip. And Bruce said, let me tell you what to do, practical application here. If somebody's been doing you wrong, you find some way to do something nice for them, something good for them. Amen. If you see they have a need, and you can meet that need in a private way and take care of what the situation is, help them. What does he say? Feed him if he's hungry. Give him something to drink if he's thirsty. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Amen? Find a way to do good to them that hate you. And notice this last one here, please. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Say, preacher, what am I supposed to do about my enemy? How about interceding for them? So you don't understand, preacher. That person has hated me their entire life. No matter what I do, I cannot bring about any type of reconciliation. That name should be the top of your prayer list. God save them. God, change their heart. Lord, help them to understand how much that you love them. And Lord, help me to love them like you've commanded me to love them. Amen. You know, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see two Christians get divorced. Amen. It breaks my heart. Say, preacher, why? I just think if we apply biblical principles, no matter what the problem is, we can get it resolved. We can work it out. And God can get the glory for that. Amen?
Amen.
I don't like to see Christians get separated among themselves. You know, you've heard in one community, there's the First Baptist Church, the Second Baptist Church, the Third Baptist Church. Why do they keep that? Because they keep splitting. They keep getting so mad at one another, they make another one. I mean, that's true, by the way. That's true. Why are we missing the boat so much? Because we're not trying to practice here what Jesus taught us to do. Love your enemy. It's not tit for tat. It's not they strike you, you strike them back. No, no, no. Turn the other cheek, walk the second mile, bless them that curse you, pray for them despitefully, you do good to them that hate you. Amen?
Amen?
Why should we do that? Because that's exactly who the Father is. If the Father was like us, this is what He would do. He'd send rain on Brother Bruce's. All the dryness that we've had here in Jacksonville. He said, Brother Bruce, I love you. I'm going to pour out rain on your house there. Take care of your garden. You don't have to bring sprinklers out. Guy next door to him hates God, doesn't love God. I don't know if that's the case now. He may love God as much as Bruce does. I don't know what his neighbor is. But let's say he is. And God said, I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to send you a drop of that rain. You hate me. You curse me all the time. You use my name in vain all the time. I'm not going to send you a drop. Is God like that? No, He's not. You say, preacher, He can't control the rain like that. Yes, He can. I was out in the field one time. My father-in-law, he was baling hay. And if you don't know anything about hay, ask Bruce about it. He's very experienced with it. But if you cut it and it lays out there and it gets dry where you can bale it, if it rains on it, it ruins the nutrients of the hay. It's not as a quality it should be. It's almost now just trash hay because it rained on it after it was cut and dried and it just drained all the nutrients out of it. So we're out there in the field trying to get the hay up, and here comes the rain. The brother stopped the tractor and said, let's pray. He said, Lord, don't let that rain come in this field. We need this hay. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to believe me. One day you'll stand before God and God will give the record. It rained on the road and never made it to the field. Never made it to the field. Rain, didn't rain on the hay at all. Not one drop. So God can control it, right? But what does He do? There's an old atheist that hates God. He puts his finger in God's face and says, I dare you, strike me dead. And God doesn't do it. Why? Not because God's not real. It's because God is a loving God. And man can be a fool.
Amen. That's right.
Why should God strike a fool dead? Amen?
Amen.
Lord, help us to love our enemies. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, you are an enemy of Christ. Do you hear me? If you've never been saved, you are an enemy of Christ. Christ said, I want you to come to me, and so far you've refused to do that. And until you say yes to Jesus, you're going to still be opposed to Him, still be fighting Him, still rejecting Him. I plead with you this morning, don't do that. Come to the one who loves you enough to die for you at Calvary's Hill. Amen?
Amen?
And if you're saved and there's somebody in your life, as I was preaching this morning, that person kept popping up in your head. You kept thinking about the offenses and all that they did, and it stirred up anger in your heart. Why don't you start praying for them? And God, help me. I don't want to hate people. I don't want to not love people, God. Help me to love others. Would you do that? It may be that you need to take a trip to this altar. Amen?
Amen?
Say, Lord, help me. I can't love people like You want me to love them. You've got to help me do that. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for this morning. We especially thank You for recording this in Your Word. Lord, we would be easy to deceive ourselves to think that we love You as we ought to love You. We might even fool ourselves in thinking that we love our wife and children as much as we ought to. But Lord, we're confronted with this truth, love your enemies. We see, Lord, how far short that we fall. And we pray, God, that You'd help Your love in us to increase more and more. Help our love for You to grow. Lord, help us to love our enemies, or a genuine, true Christian love. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, please help them to come, stop fighting you, resisting you. But Lord, bend the knee and say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Or if a Christian here has someone on their mind that it really troubles them, they might even use the word, I hate them. Lord, would you help that Christian to come this morning and say, God, forgive me. You said we're not to hate people. I pray, God, that you would wash this out of my heart, cleanse me up. Lord, renew my mind and help me to love people like you want me to love people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 255.
You need to come and pray. Please do that. Come as we